I'm going to cut to the chase and get to the point. If you are a regular around here, you may have noticed that you don't have sermon notes today, and that was very intentional. I actually, this week, gave the Lord a fleece to go in an entirely different direction where I would not be speaking today, and he promptly did not answer my fleece or respond favorably. So here I am, and by the end of this morning, the next 20 minutes or so, you might understand why I would say it. Okay, Lord, I will be a fool for you. Because he gave me a direction that I was trying to subdue and saying, that's certainly not the Lord. But here we are. And so ultimately, what I want to do today is not, I'm going to do some teaching, reminding maybe, but I kind of want to not teach, and I want to practically apply some things that we're learning. If we can't, so many Sundays I get done and, you know, teaching, all these Sundays, you know, 52 Sundays a year, and Wednesday night teaching, and there's part of me that just says, when do you stop and start doing? Like, you know, I could, coaching tennis, I could take the kids to a TV and watch Roger Federer, see how he hits the ball, and you want to step into it like this, and you want to hit it like, okay, make that motion, okay, and, you know, and then on the serve, you do like this, and this is how, you know, and I could tell them all about it, but until we get out on the court and start actually hitting balls, does it become a reality for them? And I, if you translate that illustration to church, you know, I teach, but there's so many Sundays I walk away going, I have no idea how this is impacting you, if it actually is changing your life, if you go home and do some of these things or implement them into your daily routine. Last week, as we were in Romans 7 and into 8, it talked about life in the flesh versus life in the spirit. And how many of you know life in the flesh, according to the flesh, the sinful desires, those cravings within you, the worldly passions, if you will, life in the flesh never brings blessing. Ever. That's an absolute. It never brings blessing. But Paul wasn't highlighting life in the flesh. He was highlighting the alternative, life in the spirit. And that it is our privilege as believers in Jesus Christ to live a life in the Spirit. Not walking according to the flesh, but walking a life style even out according to the Spirit. That always brings blessing. Right? Life and death, blessing and curse. You can walk according to the flesh or you can walk according to the Spirit. I highlighted the fact that here's the key. This is what I basically said. Here's the key to the whole thing, walking in the Spirit, fixing your mind on the Spirit. Here it is. It has everything to do, obviously, with the Spirit and understanding who the Spirit is. And as Romans 8 was explaining to us, the Spirit brings life. The Spirit within us helps us overcome and walk in victory over that person of the flesh that we recognize as well. And so obviously as a pastor, I want you to walk in victory. I want you to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. I want you to not experience life in the flesh, but to experience life in the Spirit. And I said, so it has everything to do with the Spirit. So how do you live a life in the Spirit? And I gave you I gave you an acrostic. Anybody remember the acrostic? Three letters? CPR. C stands for concentrate. Because you all concentrated and you remembered so well from last week. Concentrate. Life in the Spirit. How do you live life in the Spirit? You concentrate on Him. You have to say, I'm a born-again believer. My spirit is alive. I'm a child of the King. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. You know, the spiritual realm is as real as the natural realm, and even maybe perhaps more real. I'm a spiritual being, so I have to concentrate and wake up and acknowledge, because the flesh and the material are so present and right in your face that the spiritual seems to get the back burner. But you wake up and say, I'm a spiritual man. I'm a spiritual woman. I'm filled with His Spirit as a child of God. And so I have to concentrate, engage my mind on that. Engage my mind in the Spirit and think, Holy Spirit, walk with me today. I'm concentrating on you. I'm listening to you, that still small voice, that conscience alive to God. The P in CPR, giving us cardiopulmonary resuscitate, you know, breathing life. The P, I said, is praying in the Spirit. If you want to focus on the Spirit, if you want to walk in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit is essential. I didn't have time to go into it, praying in the Spirit, what it is, how do we get it, all that in detail. And this is the area where I'm feeling like, man, when do we just stop and practice? And so P was praying in the Spirit and R was reading the Word. But I'm presupposing today, as I want you to walk in the Spirit and be intimate with the Father. That's my heart. If I could give you a gift, and I forgot to ask the ushers to lock the doors. Now would be good. just kidding. If I could give you a gift, if I could wish one thing for anyone who would say, I want to submit to your pastoral leadership, it would be intimacy with the Father through the Spirit. That would be, if I could teach every Sunday, if we could have training sessions, if we could have prayer times where you, anybody who calls this place home, knows how to go deep and intimate with the Father through the Spirit. And it takes some practical application sometimes. So I'm coming with a presumption that, one, you know you need Him, the Holy Spirit, and two, that you want Him. And that may not be true, but that would be, I think, a beginning place for you to begin to question yourself and maybe, you know, what the Lord is doing in your life, and is this lining up with Scripture, and what's my response to it? To want Him and to need Him and to want Him. You know, Jesus at salvation, He provided salvation for us on the cross. Then He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God. He said, it's good that I go away because I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is with us. We receive salvation through Christ, but then Christ, as He ascended, He has given us this great gift. And even the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being a foretaste of heaven. Does that, you know, so kind of like steak. So the more you like steak, it's like, wow, I can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. And some of us aren't even eating it, you know, and it's like, oh, you've got to get to know the Holy Spirit. So I want to give you some scriptures, just so you know I'm not blowing smoke, drinking the wrong Kool-Aid. You don't have a handout, but in the back of the seat in front of you, there's a prayer card. On the back of the prayer card, there's some space to write if you're one. But part of me thinks that some of you, and maybe many of you, need to listen to this again by the end of it. You'll need to listen to this again, and or you'll have friends that need to hear this. And you've not been able to articulate what you're thinking or feeling, but by the end of this, you'll be... Man, that was so good, I need to listen again. So I'm just going to give you these references, but 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 says this, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." So maybe I didn't articulate well enough. I want to just sit on this aspect of praying in the Spirit this morning. I want to massage it in. I want you to know that what I'm talking about, and so you can implement it and practice it in your life. So 1 Corinthians 14, 2, I have this incredible Bible. If you're a student of the Word, which I encourage all of you to be, I'm going to give away a secret. The new Spirit-Filled Life Bible is the most profound, awesome resource I could ever encourage anyone to buy. But here it is, the commentary on 1 Corinthians 14, 2, which I've told you, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Anybody want to speak to God directly? You're not speaking to men. You're not speaking in a known language. You're speaking to God. It says this, "The purpose of Holy Spirit fullness in the life of a believer is both the provision of power for ministry that transcends the limits of human ability." You can't do it on your own. Power for ministry and the acquired intimacy for fellowship with the Lord. Power for ministry and fellowship with God. Sounds really, really good to me. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. The language of worship, intercession, and personal edification are benefits for those who regularly employ the Holy Spirit-enabled language as a vital part of their devotional life with the Lord. It is not for the purpose of a sign or a proof of a superior relationship with God that tongues are given to the believer. It is for enlarged worship. Ah, it's for prayer. Ah, it's for personal strengthening in the things of the Spirit. Such are neither selfish nor inappropriate, as Jude 20 asserts this is essential for a believer to edify himself. Jude 1:20, as he referenced, Jude is the final book right before Revelation. And Jude 1:20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." Jude 1:20, here's the commentary. A vital part of your spiritual growth is praying in the Holy Spirit. Such praying includes praying in one's own language as prompted by the Spirit. See Romans 8:15. Praying with groanings which cannot be uttered, Romans 8:26, and praying in a tongue unknown to the one praying. See 1 Corinthians 14:4 and 14. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Ephesians 6:18. This verse comes at the end of that great passage many of you referenced before or know about, called the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, right? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes shod with the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And then it says in verse 17, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Listen to this. Praying in the Spirit, commentary. Any prayer that is directed, energized, and sustained by the Holy Spirit is a prayer that is prayed in the Spirit. It falls into the same category as being in the Spirit, speaking by or in the Spirit, and singing in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit will always be, number one, according to God's will. 1 John 5:14. Two, will glorify the Father through the Son, John 14:13. Three, is based upon God's character, ways, and word. Four, comes from a clean heart, James 5:16. Five, is prayed in full assurance of faith. And six, is asked in Jesus' name, John 14:14. Such prayer will always find God's answers. That's Ephesians 6:18. A couple more and we're done, and we're going to get to some practical application and a story, so stay with me. Romans 8:26 and 27, back to kind of where we are in our book, going through the book, back in Romans 8:26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Who helps you in your weakness? The Spirit, capital S, helps you in your weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Listen to this commentary on Romans 8:26. This promise carries deep instruction. We dare not suppose we can truly intercede, in other words, pray for effectively, on the sole basis of our perspective and understanding. You can't pray supposing that you know everything that's going on. Since we never really thoroughly know how to pray as we ought, we must exercise the humility and faith to wait on God and let the Holy Spirit direct us. We make a presumption, supposing we already know how to intercede for others, will not only hinder maximum effectiveness, it will also cause us to miss the thrilling sense of adventure God wants to bless us with as we receive His insight and enablement for intercessory prayer. How do we know with our infinite minds whether God wants to move through us with weeping, travailing, wrestling, fasting, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, dreams, vision, mental pictures, impressions, verses of Scripture quickened to us, or simply silence? Only by waiting on God and giving Him time to move on and through us. Psalm 62, verse 5 says, teaches this wisdom, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." Second to last verse, 1 Corinthians 14:14. Everybody okay? Yeah. I'm setting it up, okay? 14:14, 1 Corinthians 14. "For if I pray in a tongue," this is instruction, one of the greatest passages in the Bible about instructions, about the gifts of the Spirit, but even specifically a heavenly language or a spiritual language, praying in tongues. It says, Paul says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful, because I don't understand what I'm saying. What am I to do?" Paul says. He says, "I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also." The commentary on this, 1 Corinthians 14, says this: "Paul reveals the place of tongues in his own personal prayer life. Praying in tongues is praying from the spirit instead of the intellect. And the same is true of singing praises. For Paul, praying and singing, both in tongues and in everyday language, were normal and regular parts of prayer and praise. There is no suggestion of hysteria, emotionalism, or abnormality of any kind." And lastly, John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." John 4. Listen to the commentary here. I think. Here it is. "It is the believer's responsibility to discover how the Lord wants to be worshiped and to explore and cultivate a relationship with Him out of which sincere, Holy Spirit-enabled worship will flow. Jesus instructs it, worship in spirit, that is, alive, through the new birth. John 1:12, 13, John 3, 6, and 7, and aglow with the Holy Spirit enablement." Alive in the Spirit and aglow with the Spirit. "This is not mechanical, rote, or merely human activity, but dynamically capacitated spiritual action." I love that. Hard to get your head around. It's dynamically capacitated spiritual action. "In truth" means, emphasizes, biblical integrity joined to personal honesty, manifest in the heart of a sincere and humble manner of transparency and a relational integrity, meaning and being what we say, as well as being spiritually energized in our worship, opens the way to worship the Father seeks. So, I read those multiple books throughout the New Testament that talk about the importance of praying in the Spirit and different aspects of what praying in the Spirit or singing in the Spirit does for you beyond empowerment and edification, how it transforms and changes your life. And again, I couldn't hope or wish or ask for anything more, but every single one of us as attenders at Grace would understand these principles and have them in their heart and actuate them, that they would become a part of who you are. So, in closing, really, I want to do two things. I want to pray for all of us and have you pray, all of us, if it would be your will, simply to be baptized by the Spirit. That is, that you would say, "Father, everything that you have for me, Heavenly Father, you're a good Father. Everything that you have for me to resource me, to do what I'm supposed to do, and to cause me, help me to be intimate with you. I want to know you. Everything you have for me, please give to me." That's what the baptism of the Spirit is. You know the Spirit. We receive the Spirit at salvation. He's three things. He's with you. He's in you, and as you pray for the baptism of the Spirit, He's upon you. He's with you even before you're a believer. Do you know that? I pray for people who don't know the Lord. I say, Hound of Heaven, Holy Spirit, you're the Hound of Heaven. Chase them down. Woo, 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 and convict them. And bring that conviction that they need a change. They get to the bottom of the rope. They come to their last straw and they cry out, I need something different. Holy Spirit, go to, He's with you. He's with you even before you yield. You know, people outside of Christ are convicted, right? They're convicted. Why did I do that? I can't, that was so stupid. And yet, outside of Christ, there's a greater tendency, obviously, to ignore that still small voice going, don't do that, that's stupid. Why are you doing that? You know, leading them, drawing them to the Father. The Spirit is with you. He's in you. At salvation, you receive the Spirit. You can't separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three functions of one God. So at salvation, God the Father provided Christ the Son who went to the cross. We received the sacrifice. Christ ascended into heaven, and He's given us His Holy Spirit to be in us. You know, you say the little children's, Jesus in my heart. Well, you know, if you get theologically into it, you say, well, no, Jesus is actually at the right hand of God the Father, and He's in heaven, but the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus and God, you know, who is God, is with you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. He's with you. He's in you. At salvation, you come alive. You're not, your heart is filled up with the Spirit, and the Word starts coming alive, and you start, that conviction starts rolling at salvation. But then there's this measure of Him coming upon you, much like the baptism you received. JC had accepted Christ years ago, but for multiple reasons in his life, he was making a public declaration. I want to get baptized today to announce to the whole world, He's my Lord and Savior. I'm going to live for Him all the days of my life. And so, immerse me, the dead in Christ, to rise again. The old is gone, the new is come. Immerse me. I want to make that declaration. When you pray for the baptism of the Spirit, you're saying, I'm all in. And I want every resource to do what you've got for me to do. And I want intimacy with the Father. I want to know the Lord on a deeper level. And if you've come stagnant in your relationship with Him, I can't encourage you enough to research this, pray about this, and even be here today and listen and engage in what I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit is for us. So we need to invite Him. And much like salvation as well, you know, you pray a prayer of salvation. Lord, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I need a Savior. There's no way out. The only way to the Father is through You, and You died on the cross for me, and I accept that incredible gift, and I receive it. I receive Your forgiveness. Thank You, and I make You Lord. That's salvation. You pray that prayer once, right? And that's called justification. At that moment, it's just as if you had never sinned before. Then going forward, do you continue to sin? The old man shows up. Yes, all of us have fallen short. We all continue sin, so we come again. It doesn't mean our time of salvation was erased because we sinned, but we come again. We ask for a clean heart, a cleansing of our soul and a mind. You know, so same with salvation. Baptism, you say, Holy Spirit, there's an initial time. The first time you say, Holy Spirit, all that You have, come upon me. I'm praying for You to baptize me, immerse me in Your presence. You pray it once, but then you know what? You wake up every day, I do, and say, Holy Spirit, come today. Baptize me today. Baptize me afresh today. I want all that You have today. Yes, I prayed that prayer 30 years ago. But I want it afresh today. Come today. You can pray it again and again. So I'm going to ask all of us, again, if you are want intimacy with the Father, empowered to do His work, and I don't know why you wouldn't, to just say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. It's not that big a deal. I want all that You have. Give it to me. And so would you stand to your feet? And if you are there, you don't have to repeat this after me, per se. I'm not going to say it slowly, but I want you to grab the heart, and I do want you, I'll maybe encourage you at a couple points to say that audibly, but you could even say things to the Lord as you're praying there with your head bowed, your eyes closed, that you could say things loud enough that He could hear, that you can hear what you're saying, but not necessarily everybody around you. I just want to ask for the baptism, whether you've been baptized before or whether this is the first time, that you saying everything that you have, come upon me, Holy Spirit. I don't want any manifestations afterward, I just want to pray, and that with an expectancy that if we ask the Father for a fish, he's going to give us a fish. If we ask him for bread, he's going to give us bread. He's not going to give us a stone. He's a good Father, and he wants you to have this gift. So by faith, we come before you, Father, this morning, Grace Four Square Church. We're getting real today, Lord, and we're just saying every resource you have, the resource of heaven, the resource of your Son, who is the Holy Spirit given to us to empower us, to ignite our time in your word, to ignite our worship, to ignite intimacy with you, that we might know you deeper. All of that, Lord, I want. And I ask you to pour it out upon me. And I even, friends today, would you say, baptize me with your Spirit, Jesus. Baptize me with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come upon me that I might have every resource, every tool at my access to know the Father really well and to do the work you've called me to do in Jesus' name. And I receive the Holy Spirit with expectancy. I receive it. It's your word. And even believe right now that I have him upon me. Not just in me, but upon me. I've been endued with power from on high as I've made this request right now before the Father. Thank you, Lord. And I would pray, Lord, and ask you, friends, to agree with me in this prayer that the enemy who would seek to stuff or stifle this gift for whatever reason, from history or bad church experiences or whatever it would be, from experiencing all that the Holy Spirit represents, all of his gifts, in any way, if they're intended for you, and as God would choose them to deposit them in your lives, that the enemy would not rob or steal or destroy those things in Jesus' name. But we open our hearts and minds to receive everything that you have via the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, you have prayed, and I pray and hope and wish that every one of you prayed that prayer and meant it with all your heart, whether it's the first time or the 120th time that we pray, Holy Spirit, all that you have for me. Father, thank you for this great gift, this foretaste of heaven. May I grow increasingly acquainted with the Holy Spirit. The second thing is the process, and I'm talking to you today about speaking in tongues. Let me tell you that the process between asking for the baptism of the Spirit and experiencing the gift of tongues, if you will, can look a lot of different ways. And I've heard so many different stories and so many different experiences where people have prayed for the baptism of the Spirit and then receive the gift of tongues, or this heavenly language, as we can describe it, or a spiritual language, received it in such different ways. And so God is a mysterious God, and there is no canned, coined way. But here is what I think is essential to receiving. I believe, particularly, as you read all these scriptures, I've got to believe that, and remember, two kinds of tongues, 1 Corinthians 14. Why would you pray in tongues? Doesn't make sense. One is for public exhortation, right? A sign to the unbelievers. You walk into a worship service, a leader, I would say, hey, I feel like there's a word from the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord. We're quiet for a moment, and all of a sudden, this tongue, one person is proclaiming this tongue, and everybody's looking around, there's a tongue going on right now. What is that? Even the unbeliever is going, okay, what did I just walk into? This is scary. This is why we lock the doors. You know, what's going on? And it doesn't make sense to anybody, but the Bible says in that public exhortation has to be interpreted, meaning it has to be translated into English, otherwise we won't get anything out of it. And if it's done well and rightly, the freedom and order, it blesses everybody in the room, and even the unbeliever who's never seen that before goes, oh, there's a God. That's the result of that public exhortation. The second kind of tongues, or purpose for tongues, is personal edification, that your soul is built up. And so we have to, here's the process. This is essential for that soul being built up. Why we would pray in the Spirit. It's a willing and humble heart to pray in the heavenly language and to initiate and yield. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed with someone to receive the baptism of the Spirit, and then there's this expectancy, which I think is appropriate, to also receive, even on the spot, the gift of tongues or a heavenly language. Again, many times it doesn't happen that way, but I think there's a reasonable expectancy that we can have that one would pray in the heavenly language. So we pray the baptism of the Spirit. They pray that prayer just like we prayed. And then, okay, I really want the gift of tongues because my soul's going to be edified. I'm not talking about speaking public exhortation. I just want that intimacy with the Father. And we say, okay, let's pray for that. And then they go, okay, I'm ready. Here we go. I mean, almost like, and their mouth's shut. You go, well, you know, you're saying, you're not praying in the Spirit. Well, your mouth's shut. You know, so the Holy Spirit, I use this illustration, he's not going to give you the gift of tongues while you're standing in line at Safeway. That would be weird. You have, in terms of your edification with the Lord, you have this ability to use your brain and engage the Spirit as you will, when you will. He's not going to take over your body. He's not. It's you saying, Lord, I submit this most unruly member of my body. This thing that has caused so much damage, this thing that sets a forest on, I submit this to you. This self-serving muscle, I humbly submit it to you. And if you would take my humbling gibberish, Lord, and cause it to work somehow for your good or get glory out of it, praise the Lord. But it's very humbling. So it takes a humble heart to initiate and yield. I remember growing up, I've told you the story, but my mom would pray for me often, you know, several nights a week, and on occasion she would pray over me in her prayer language. Because, as we read, sometimes you don't know how to pray. I don't know what Keith needs as a mom. I don't know what he's facing, you know, all this stuff. So I'm going to pray in the Spirit. So you pray in the Spirit. All I remember about my mom praying in the Spirit was this, that she had these syllables that sounded like, ooh, shalomu. Ooh, shalomu, right? So, ooh, shalomu, shalomu, shalomu. She probably had other syllables. She probably, you know, the gibberish sounded different, but ooh, shalomu, ooh, shalomu. So when I'm a young teenager and I prayed for the baptism of the Spirit and I really wanted to pray in tongues and someone prayed for me and here I go, okay, ooh, shalomu, ooh, shalomu, just like my mom, because that's what my understanding of tongues was, and that's the, I didn't know what else to go, and what am I going to go? A, B, C, D, F, G, A, B, L, how do I say the alphabet backwards? Z, F, Q, R, X, you know, I, should have bought a Honda, but about a Hyundai, right? So, some of you didn't catch that. I was so good at it. Should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Hyundai. That's funny. I don't know what to say. So I'm ushalamu, ushalamu. It came to a point where, because ushalamu only lasted so long and my prayer language for me as a young teenager wasn't doing what I thought, and maybe I didn't receive the baptism of the Spirit. Maybe I was, you know, I'm too much, my mind's thinking about it too much, I don't know, but I'm at a service now, mid-teenage years, I'm at a service on a Wednesday night, and Herb Marks was leading, and Herb's been here before, and he had an impression that there were many people in the room who were struggling with their prayer language, and he said, there's a number of you struggling, not sure if you really got it, not practicing it, whatever, would you stand up? There's a number of us, maybe 50 people in this room stood up. He said, okay, I want all of you to go down to the other room, and there's going to be someone there to meet you and help you through the next stage. I'm going, all right, here I go, what did I get myself into? Oh, man, here we go. Went down to this room and was ready for the teaching, and this man gets up there, and here's his instruction. Go ahead. Go on. Do it. I'm like, we're the people who are struggling. No, go ahead, do it. And so, you know, a lot of men in that room, and you could just see this, oh, you know, pardon my friend, people are like, oh, crap. I'm on the spot. I got to use whatever I think, my ushalamu, out loud, and there's people around me, and he's saying, go for it, go ahead, go on, go on. I mean, he's just encouraged, go, let it go. And so you start hearing this, and as these people gathered there, including myself, began to realize we can't care about, this is humbling. It's gibberish. I don't understand it. My mind is telling me to do it. It doesn't feel like the Spirit. I'm telling myself to say, Ushalamu. How is this praying in the Spirit? Ah! And he's telling me to go, okay, Ushalamu, 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 Ushalamu. And the volume in the room starts, oh, Shalamu, Shalamu, Shalamu. And immediately it was like, I am so committed to this thing at this point because I am at an Shalamu, saying my Shalamu. Do I have the prayer language? Am I baptized in Shalamu? And my mind went, Holy Spirit, I want you so bad. If you could take me repeating what my mother said to me, Shalamu, glory to God. And I, oh, Shalom, oh, Shalom, oh, Shalom. And I just let it out. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came upon me. I was just crawling, crying now. It was like, I know I've been baptized and I have a prayer language. But it took me to just go, my willingness. And yes, you have to open, sometimes. My mom was one. She was just praying in English, rocking me as a baby on a rocking chair. She had prayed a couple weeks before at a service and a Bible study for the baptism. She's rocking me and just thinking about the Lord and praying, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. Bada 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 bada. Ushalamu, a lot of that. But just hit her like that. That's most people's story is not that. It mostly comes from, okay, I'm going to offer up my gibberish. Araka balaka sutara ki. I know that I'm saying this. It's not the Holy Spirit, right? It's not. It's me. I'm saying these syllables. So when does it become this incredible thing? It becomes this incredible thing when your heart and your mind in the middle of that, acknowledging that you're saying it, you're not in Safeway, it's in your prayer closet, Lord, I want to engage you, I'm praising you, I'm worshiping you, and in that moment when you're going, and you get past the sense that this doesn't make sense. This, I don't understand this, and you just fix your eyes on him, and you go, I trust you with this. I trust you with my gibberish. And my mind is on him. I'm thinking of his glory, and the Lord meets you. But it requires, yes, you to engage. He can't steer a parked car. You got to put your foot on the gas. You got to start going somewhere that he can use. And I'm telling you, for me personally, and I know it's true for so many people, it's a language, right? It's a heavenly language. It's a spiritual language like Spanish or English or German. And any of you ever acquire a language in one day? No, it takes years and years of memorization and textbook. This is so cool. You don't need a textbook, but it is a language that you develop. And the more you practice it, the more you operate in it, the more you say, Holy Spirit, use my gibberish today. Let's just call it that. Use my gibberish. The more you do it, the better it gets, the better it sounds, not necessarily its effectiveness, because the Lord sees your heart, but the more fluid it becomes, and you develop syllables. And so many times I praying for somebody, and I feel impressed, like, man, something just rises in me, and I would say, man, this sounds Russian. And then I start worshiping on a Sunday, and I just, for lack of understanding, I don't do it so much, but it might sound Chinese, I don't know, but the Lord is, as you grow and develop, the language develops. And so you go from Ushalamu to so much more. And so, yes, it seems like foolishness, but he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And he takes the most arrogant member of our body, self-centered muscle, and he makes it submit to him. Lord, use this thing for your glory, for edification of my soul. Again, this happens in your prayer time, or it happens in a group like this, where there's understanding, where we all are on the same page, we all understand what's going on. This is not to be interpreted. This is you and you and you and you talking to God the Father, being edified in your soul, or worshiping Him. You can sing in tongues. And so I want you to stand again, and we are going to engage in our heavenly language. I know many of you pray in the Spirit, and go ahead and stand. Some of you don't pray, have asked for the baptism of the Spirit years ago, and you received a prayer language, and you're not functioning in it, at least not where you want. Some of you have asked for the baptism of the Spirit, and you've never prayed in a prayer language. Some of you are ready to run for your life. Some of you are, perhaps even skeptical or what have you, but I believe the scriptural integrity is there, that this is something that is a part of a believer's life. All of those scriptures are the empowering of the church. You know that the disciples at Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2, at Pentecost, from that moment, the birthplace of the church, 2017 church as much as the church of that century, the disciples went from there to the believing communities, and they said to everybody, "Have you received the Spirit since you believed?" Time and time again, I think there's 9 incidences of the disciples walking into a church, if you will, in some town and saying, "Hey, everybody, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" So the evidence is there that the church needs the Spirit. So I want to pray in the Spirit. And for you, wherever you are, you might be there today, and this is it for you. I prayed for the baptism earlier. I prayed the Holy Spirit come, and I believe by faith you gave it to me. Lord, use my gibberish, and you're freaking out, but you go, ba, 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 kul, ba, siti, ba, ji. You know, you just start uttering. Just offer it to Him, and then as much as you can, concentrate on Him. Let Him be the focus. Lord, use this, develop this in me. Some of you have prayed in the Spirit for a long time, and you need to lift up your voice a little more, and don't be afraid or ashamed of it. And in this atmosphere of understanding and in the body of Christ, so let's just begin to pray in the Spirit. Lift your voice. We worship you, Lord. We want to know you more, Lord Jesus. Bring intimacy, Lord, between us and the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can bring it to a close. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. I pray an increase in every single one of us, Lord, wherever we are. I pray for an abundance, an outpouring, Lord, not only of your Spirit, but, Lord, of this divine gift that you would use, our initiating our tongue to do this gibberish, Lord, you would bless it and cause, Lord, an intimacy between us and the Father to develop that we've never known, both in prayer and in worship. And that is what I want to close with. I've asked Fred and Elisa to lead us in this song. I want to sing this song, and then as we come to the conclusion of it, you'll hear me. I want to also stretch you a little bit today to sing in your prayer language, sing in your spiritual language. That I am telling you, it changes my life. It changes my life to sing worship with this unknown tongue. Because I'm horrible at remembering lyrics. So, but I could sing in tongues all day long. And it's so sweet. So let's sing. Oh Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above. Thou art it. Just pray pastorally, Lord, that your people would be ignited and inspired and trained, and understanding would overwhelm them. The biblical foundations, Lord, would be on their mind to engage you in greater ways. Expand our worship, expand our prayer life, expand our intimacy with you. We ask for it in your precious name. Have your way in my life. Have your way in our church. Have your way, Lord, as we reach this community in your precious name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,